This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
So, well, when the Thai monarch King Bhumibol passed away on Thursday last week, he'd been in hospital for years. He'd also been on the throne for about 70 years, the world's longest serving monarch. Clearly, the death of the king couldn't have taken the country by surprise. And yet the country seems convulsed by grief and uncertainty. How would you attribute, why is this so?
That's absolutely correct. You can't underestimate the sort of the centrality of the monarchy to Thai society and Thai politics. I don't think the comparison with, say, the British monarchy really works. It really is this central institution. As you said, it's the longest reigning monarch in the world, but also the longest reigning monarch in Thai history. And he's been there through the period of Thailand's sort of modernization from a sort of a agricultural Buddhist kingdom to a modern, in many ways, sort of quite advanced nation state. He was there through that whole period. He's been promoted through the state media and through a very intensive, I think, sort of personality cult, really, as the embodiment of the Thai nation, but also, as I argue in my book, as what the Buddhists would call a bodhisattva, that is a future Buddha. This is a very old idea in associated with the Thai monarchy, that the monarchs are building up their moral virtue to over, you know, countless incarnations. So it's based on the Buddhist theory of reincarnation, that at some future incarnation they will become a Buddha. So this is a very powerful idea. It's a religious idea that the monarchy is not just the monarch is not just the head of state, a sort of a political figure, but also a religious figure. I think that helps to explain the depth of emotion and grief and mourning that we're seeing in Thailand today.
Okay, before we get to the question of the extended period of mourning that's been announced by the military government, isn't it true also that the monarchy hadn't always been like this? I mean, the 20th century did see a coup in 1932 that overthrew the absolute monarchy of Thailand. The next king, I believe he was, he came after 1932, 1935, there was a period where there wasn't a monarch. And then 1935, you had Rama VIII. But he was in Switzerland until 46 and didn't come back until then. And then he was killed in this murder. And then only then did the King Bhumibol take the throne. And it was years before the monarchists and that whole system was reestablished itself. Isn't that true?
That's a pretty accurate description, actually. Yes, the monarchy has had a tumultuous period over the modern period. As you say, 1932 is this key turning point when a group of civilian, Western-educated civilians and military personnel overthrew the absolute monarchy in a coup d'etat, really. Some call it a revolution, and established a constitutional monarchy. The royalists fought back. There was a big battle in 1933, and the royalists were routed. And really, from 1933, as you say, really up until 1946, the royalists and the monarchy was sort of more or less out of the picture. The monarchy continued. There was a monarchy, but the governments that were in power were actually quite anti-monarchical. And if things had turned out a little bit differently, the monarchy could have faded away as it has in many Asian countries, but it didn't. And the fact that the late monarch, King Bhumibol, he was crucial in the what we might call the restoration of the monarchy from this sort of low point in the 1940s through to this point today where it really is the central political institution in Thailand.
Now, we understand, of course, that the relationship between the royal family and the military was partly sealed through the works of the former Prime Minister, Prem Tun Sulanon. Now, he's emerged as the regent because of his position, I believe, as the head of the Privy Council. The man is 96 years old. He was subject of a lot of anger by, I believe, red shirt activists who see him as being anti-Thaksin and is said to lead the ultra-monarchist faction of the ruling elite who favour the crown princess. Could you help us understand that dynamic with Prem Tun Sulanon as regent?
Yeah, look, the intrigues around the monarchy are sometimes very hard to really... To really get a clear picture of what's going on, because, as you know, there's a very harsh Lettuce Majesty law which forbids any critical discussion of the monarchy. So we're always kind of trying to sort of second guess what's really happening. But the point you made at the start is a very important one. The Thai monarchy and the military are very closely related, very closely allied. They have been since the 1950s, and they've been, you know, in close alliance throughout that period. So whatever happens to the monarchy or what happens to the military affects the other. Now, as you say, the General Brem Dinasulanon, he was the chairman of the council, Privy Council, this council of advisors to the former king, King Bhumibol. As you mentioned, he was seen to be behind the coup in 2006. He's seen by the red shirts, that these pro-Thaksin people, to be behind that coup. So he is sort of out of favour with them. But it's also understood that he has a difficult relationship with the Crown Prince. So there was some discussion, there was some, you know, talk that there may be some rivalry with the Crown Prince to take over the throne. I don't really accept that. I feel that the Crown Prince is pretty much assured to succeed to the throne. Of course, there are, you know, tensions and conflicts within, you know, the royal family, within the royalist establishment more broadly. But I can't see that affecting the succession, you know, that we assume will take place in the weeks or months ahead.
Now, one of the scenarios, and I know you say you don't think the Crown Princess has any chance of any kind of real role in the future of the monarchy. But one scenario points to the possibility of her taking the position of regent as guardian of one of the many grandchildren of King Bhumibol. I believe 6 out of the dozen grandchildren that are acknowledged are boys. Now, is that scenario an unlikely one?
I think it's unlikely, but you have to be very brave to predict Thai politics. It's unpredictable at the best of times. But I see no evidence for it. If I had a piece of evidence that suggested that might be the case, I think then we could perhaps consider it. But on the other hand, we have as much evidence as you need, really, to suggest that the Crown Prince will succeed to the throne. I think he is currently in a very, very strong position. I think the last thing that people who are loyal to the monarchy and all the, you know, all the, particularly the military itself and all the other interests that depend on the monarchy, I think the last thing they want is instability over the royal succession. They want to make sure that it succeeds as smoothly as possible. And for that reason, and in the absence of any clear evidence to the contrary, I can't see any reason why the Crown Prince won't succeed to the throne. As you say, it was a little bit of a surprise that he decided not to succeed immediately. My explanation for that is that he tends to be quite a headstrong character, often impetuous, and I think people are very unwilling to go against his wishes. So for whatever reason he didn't feel that he was ready to succeed immediately after his father passed away. But I still think he absolutely intends to succeed, and I think...
And that was it. So he'd made this statement recently, but in fact, on a Friday, I believe, the Prime Minister had spoken on his behalf, saying that he agreed with this extended period of mourning that in some sense pushes back the possibility of his being crowned anytime soon. I do want to ask you, though, I understand that military support for the Crown Prince is essentially pragmatic and that it's based on an assumption that they can control him, that apart from his tumultuous private life, the military really is concerned about the relationship between the Crown Prince and former Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawat. That is the biggest bugbear for them with the Crown Prince. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I think, as you said, the relationship between the military and the monarchy is absolutely crucial. That relationship has to be preserved into the future from the point of view of both parties. The problem, as we know, with the Crown Prince is that he lacks the popularity of his father. He lacks that charismatic authority of his father. To be fair, you know, I think it'd be a hard act for anyone to live up to following the death of King Bhumibol, given the fact he was there for so long and had built up such a degree of authority. So he lacks that public popularity. Now, as we know, Mr. Thaksin was very popular in large sections of the rural population, particularly in the northeast and north, and the sort of the lower economic areas in areas around Bangkok. And so there is potentially a deal to be made there in order for the new king to be able to gain that popularity that is associated with the former Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawat. Now that is a rumor. Again, we have no hard evidence, but it seems to me that would be one of the pragmatic solutions that is available for dealing with this problem that the Crown Prince sort of faces, in that he lacks that broad-based popularity that his father enjoyed.
Right, and that probably would be very unpopular with the military as well as the Privy Council. I want, very lastly, we haven't seen a funeral, a royal funeral of this nature in Thailand for the last 70 years. What can we expect? How much disruption to daily life, to the incomes of city folk, to markets and such? I mean, what do you think is going to be happening in the coming months?
Yeah, well, there have been some royal funerals in the past during the reign of King Bhumibol. His sister was one, and his mother. Obviously, this will be on an entirely different scale altogether. I think, you know, the economy will be affected, of course, both because of the sort of the uncertainty over the succession and how things will turn out with the new king, but also, you know, this long period of mourning. There's already, as we're seeing, some. It may have effect on the tourist industry because, you know, some entertainment venues have had to close or had to tone down their entertainment activities. You know, tourists are sort of being warned not to be careful how they express themselves for fear of, you know, offending Thais who are, you know, grieving the passing of the king. So I think all this, yes, will have an effect on the economy the longer it goes on. But this will be, you know, the actual cremation, the cremation, which is according to, you know, royal tradition, will be, I think, a massive event, and you know, it could take up to a year or even longer for the cremation to take place. Have to wait and see.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.